Welcome to Life, Lemons and the Law, a podcast from Clark Wilmot. This series of the podcast is all about social mobility, the link between the circumstances in which you grow up and the outcomes that you can expect in terms of income and career. The issue of social mobility profoundly affects the prospects and therefore the lives of young people across the UK, and that's why Clark Wilmot is working with the Social Mobility Foundation to formally support young people to improve social mobility. My name is Ed Palmer, and on this episode, I'm talking to two lawyers from Clark Wilmot, Claire Gregory and Mamoun Wahid, whose circumstances growing up meant that they experienced the barriers caused by social mobility. So, Claire, Mamoun, hello. Welcome to the podcast. Can I ask you to please introduce yourselves?
Yeah, I'm Claire Gregory. I have been with Clark Wilmot for approximately 10 years now. I am a partner and director in the real estate division of the firm, based in the Cardiff office, but act for clients nationally.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Mamoun, tell us who you are and what you do, please.
So my name is Mamounul. I have been at Clark Wilmot for 9 years. I've been qualified for 5 years. I'm an associate in our financial services litigation team. In the last few years, we've recovered over 40 million for steelworkers in Port Talbot and Scunthorpe, who were badly advised in respect to their pensions. And I was recently awarded Bristol Law Society's Junior Lawyer of the Year, in part for my work helping steelworkers.
Thank you very much. That sounds like a fascinating story, but one for another day, perhaps. Did you, Mamoun, always want to be a lawyer? You sound pretty driven.
My South Asian kind of heritage is probably what gave me the drive to pursue a career in the professions. I was taught to kind of throw myself into education and do my best for myself, my family, my community. My dad came to the UK when he was 11. My mum came in her late teens with no relatives, not knowing much English. And so their kind of sacrifices gave me a huge sense of responsibility. So I knew early on whatever I wanted to end up doing, I wanted to kind of help people. And yeah, that's really, I guess, where being a lawyer appealed, finding answers and solutions to everyday problems.
And was there a family and community expectation that you succeed in the law?
I think my parents, because they maybe didn't know any better, they kind of left it to me to kind of find my own way through the system.
So finding your own way through the system, that sounds challenging, and we'll come to those challenges in a moment. Claire, did you always want to be a lawyer?
From a very young age, I wanted to be a barrister. Literally, the first memory that I have was being at home from school poorly. And there used to be a television programme called The Crown, which was on around lunchtime. And I remember watching it poorly on the sofa, thinking I would love a wig and gown and to be that person stood up in court defending somebody, which obviously is quite far removed from what I currently practice. However, I suppose on reflection, it was, again, a sign of my background and the social sector that I came from, in that there were no real guidelines on, you know, aspiring to go to university and have a degree. And I think the influence came through that television programme.
You couldn't ask your parents, say, what were your family expectations if you were to say that you wanted to be a barrister?
My family expectations would always be support, but my father was a welder. My mum, she worked in Marks and Spencer's, and I suppose they didn't have that knowledge and experience themselves to know where to turn for the right advice.
Claire, what challenges did you face? What held you back?
So what held me back was the secondary school that I attended wasn't great. It was in a disadvantaged area where a majority of the children came from disadvantaged homes. I was very lucky, very blessed. As much as my parents didn't have that much financially, they are both quite intelligent people. They came from good families. I think what did hold me back was the guidance and the right support, because unfortunately, the school that I attended, a lot of the attention was given to the problems in the classroom. it was very unusual for a pupil to hold their hand up and say that they would like to enter a profession. I actually have a memory of telling the careers officer that we were encouraged to speak with of my ambition. And she laughed and said, "You've always been a dreamer. How about we aim for legal secretary," which seems a bit more realistic to me. So that was my first experience of holding my hand up to something I aspired to be and being told that I was a dreamer.
Mamoun, what held you back?
I think I'm probably going to echo some of the sentiments and memories of Claire. Like Claire, when I started thinking about law, I never had a role model as such. No one that looked like me doing that around me in the setting that I was in. No one really talked about diversity and inclusion like we do today, 10, 15 years ago. And like Claire, the advice and the reception I got from school wasn't great. So one of my vivid memories was a year 11 parents' evening. Me and my dad sat on one side of the table, and then my languages teacher sat on the other side of the table. And we got into the discussion of what I was looking to do next. And so I said I was looking into maybe doing a law degree going on to university. And she sort of paused and said, "I'm not sure that's right for you. And maybe you should be reconsidering this." Not all of my teachers were of that mindset, but it certainly didn't help. And it was incredibly intimidating, I guess, and daunting. But I guess I didn't let that fear stop me. In education, the idea of a fit or a model kind of didn't really affect me, because when it comes to education and going on to university, you're kind of just judged on your grades. No one really cares about where you're from. But it was really after kind of university, when I started to try and look for work, I found it very difficult to secure a training contract after my law degree. I remember 3 or 4 interviews where I'd score quite highly on the various tests that they do as part of the recruitment exercise, but then I wouldn't get the job, and the feedback wasn't very constructive. And the kind of impression that you're left with is that there is a mold of what a good lawyer looks like, and you don't fit it, or you don't sound like it. In terms of other challenges, I guess, yeah, like Claire, I didn't have the same connections. So my dad was a chef, my mum was a homemaker. My friends at university had parents who were in the professions, so they had invisible advantages when it came to applications, preparing yourself for an interview, knowing what to say, what not to say.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Really interesting. I mean, we've got that flippant phrase, haven't we, that it's not what you know, it's who you know, which we've probably all heard loads of times and thought nothing of it, but it actually describes something that's pretty toxic. Claire, what has the issue of social mobility meant in the context of your career, and how have you managed to navigate those problems?
Well, yeah, I think, again, it's really interesting, because taking it back to social mobility, again, I always feel it's somebody's perception. So Mamou, you're talking about university, for example. And I find that really interesting, because I think there is still very much this stigma that to be a lawyer, you have to go to university, something which I have not done other than my legal practice course. I've qualified via the Institute of Legal Executives route. Now, that was never, ever told to me as being an option. I was never given that opportunity. And I left school with nothing, no qualifications, because, again, I didn't have the support and encouragement. I had the intelligence, which they constantly told my parents. But there was something within me, I guess, where I just thought, okay, you say I'm not going to make it, so I won't. And unfortunately, I've paid the price for that, because I qualified at the age of 35. So going back to your question, Ed, I had to find my way all of those years to know how I was to get to where I wanted to be. I joined Eversheds Sutherland at the age of 17 as an office junior. I saw the law in action, and I was very blessed to have somebody who clearly saw something in me and suggested that I go to night school. I didn't even know you could go to night school, didn't know there was such a thing. I did my O-levels, GCSEs in night school. then went on and enrolled to the Institute of Legal Executives because, again, I was encouraged that that was the next step. And I guess with the length of time it took me to progress, the availability of alternative routes to qualification started to grow, which was a blessing for me with hindsight. However, I used to see it as my punishment. It was how I was made to feel in the office environment, being somebody who had qualified via an unconventional route. And social mobility, it's so important to me. It's not even just about being a lawyer. I think there are some people who care, but they're almost in the nicest possible way, ignorant to the fact that some people I would have attended school with, won't even know what an office environment is, never mind being a lawyer.
Mamoon, you mentioned that you didn't have the right connections. How did you overcome that? How did you find them? Where did they come from?
I can't emphasize enough the difference that having a kind of sponsor or a mentor has made in my life and my career trajectory. And if it's one message to give to people of influence following this podcast would be, if you're in a position, kind of be a mentor, give a lift to someone who doesn't have the opportunities, who is from a non-traditional background. What's probably happened in the past in law is you've had mentors and sponsors gravitating towards people like them. So if you're white, middle class, you're probably going to sponsor someone who looks and sounds like you. And that's probably how it's been for tens, hundreds of years. What made the difference for me is I was really lucky, incredibly lucky, to work with people who were willing to break the mold. And if it wasn't for my old supervising partner, Rebecca, who allowed me to shadow her at meetings, spent time with me, teaching me how to write letters, I wouldn't be the solicitor that I am today. And that's really continued at Clark Wilmot with Philippa, Han and Anthony Fairweather, who saw potential in me and gave me opportunities that I never thought I'd get. That gave me a huge sense of self-worth, self-confidence. I found myself in settings that I never thought I'd be in. And it's really from there I was able to push on and show the firm what I can achieve.
So you've both then described yourselves as lucky to meet a certain individual or group of individuals in order for your career to progress. That's not right, is it? It shouldn't be dependent on luck. So what can be done to systematically change the way things work, to take luck out of the equation? Claire, what needs to change so that social mobility is in place?
Obviously, mentors are key. I have had the best mentors. I am so blessed to have had the mentors that I've had throughout my career, in every stage of my career, from the office junior with the assistant solicitor telling me, do you realise there is this option, through to being a secretary working for the most high-profile lawyers in the country. Every which way throughout my career, I have been taught such excellent skills and develop the best knowledge and experience. It is mentors. I think it's being given the ability to have the experience to go in to offices and to receive exposure on your interests, to be given a level playing field. There's still very much this working class and poor education thing. It's changing the stigma. You know, getting into schools, talking to children about careers that are out there, the different routes that can be taken, the opportunities that are available. And this is not just in the law. There are so many different careers within a law firm. This is not just about lawyers. Social mobility is making every opportunity possible for whoever and whatever.
Brilliant, thank you. Mamoon, to you on that same point, what do you think needs to change within the way the system is currently to move away from what you experienced?
So I think low expectations from teachers and mentors is still probably an issue for some young people. So obviously me and Claire, I think both experienced that. We were able to work through it in our own ways, but perhaps more work is needed there. I think we are living in changing times. I think more conversations are happening, and that's what needs to happen about diversity, inclusion of all types. We have just moved from having our first black female law society president handing over to our first Asian Muslim law society president. So having visible people in those positions who look and sound like me will make a difference. It will. It just will, because you'll be able to see people of influence, people with power. I think, again, touching on what Claire has said, kind of a wider acceptance of people from less traditional backgrounds is what's going to make a difference. It made a difference for me. You talk about luck. Yes, it was hard work, perseverance on my part, but without key people at certain points in my life giving me a chance, I wouldn't be where I am today. So we need the mindset of leaders, decision makers, to be more accepting of people of less traditional backgrounds, knowledgeable that there are imbalances in the kind of opportunities that people have, and then taking action.
Claire, you had a point about social mobility, even when it comes to this, to appearing on a podcast.
This is one of my issues. You know, it's that imposter syndrome. My biggest weakness and biggest fear is public speaking, strangely.
Yeah.
It absolutely terrifies me. And anybody who knows me in a room will know that I am the person that stands out talking in a room of people when it's a social occasion. However, if you told me, right, the lectern's over there, could you just go and have a chat with the room? I would probably break out into a sweat and run into the toilet crying.
That's really interesting. Mamoun, how's your public speaking?
I struggled with it initially, and I think it is the kind of sensation of walking into a room. And I think I found it when I went for interviews as well, and nobody is the same as you. Nobody looks like you, sounds like you. I kind of initially struggled with it, but over time, and I think it's because of the confidence I saw other people having in me and my abilities, it's really corny, but that's basically what's made the difference, where yeah. I kind of feel, okay, they think I'm good enough. So yeah, since qualifying, I have gone kind of around the country speaking at various IFA conferences and talks, and I've kind of, yeah, semi-comfortable with it. But initially, yeah, it was definitely daunting.
It sounds like from your experience, for both of you, that imposter syndrome is linked to issues around social mobility.
Massively.
Yeah. You don't feel like you belong. You don't feel like
no.
you... It's really weird to say it, but it feels like you don't deserve to be where you are doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I think for me, as well as having amazing mentors, I have come up against people who don't want me to succeed. And I think already carrying that imposter syndrome on one shoulder and then having people tell you you're not good enough or you're very lucky to be where you are. You know, I'm not ashamed either to admit I've had therapy, you know, for anxiety disorder I developed through pushing myself too far in wanting to qualify. And I can remember my psychologist saying to me, you prepare a fantastic case for the prosecution, whereas, you know, you should be defending yourself. And I find it's only in the last 2 to 3 years where I've started saying, geez, Claire, cut yourself some slack.
Yeah, it's a label, isn't it? You've got to work hard to overcome that label that's been put either on yourself or by other people.
But it's funny, I think even working hard, the working hard bit is you carry the label, but from the outside, you have to appear that you don't. And I think that's where the imposter syndrome comes in.
Brilliant. Thanks very much. Let's talk about the Social Mobility Foundation. I know that Clark Wilmot are partnered with the Social Mobility Foundation. Are either of you involved?
I think we will be. It's still very early days. And I know, speaking from a Cardiff perspective, the whole office were really interested in getting involved in that. It's kind of just targeting the youngsters, I guess, because they are the adults of the future. That's the right target area to change what we want with regard to stigma, perceptions, and opening up opportunities for all. So that is, yeah, that's what I see the Social Mobility Foundation doing, you know, for us as a firm.
Mamoun, how about you?
I've signed up to be a mentor for sixth form students because, yeah, I think it's good to get in there early. And I think it's at that stage, maybe even earlier than sixth form, where people are starting to think about careers in law. And yeah, I want to do my bit and show local students in the Bristol area or beyond that, yeah, you can make it. I do mentoring anyway with Bristol University. So this is my second year mentoring for the university. So I'm doing some mentoring there as well.
So you mentioned talking to young people there, Claire, who are potentially in a similar position to the position you were in when you were at school. What message would you have for younger people, potentially your younger self, but, you know, equally anyone in that position?
To get experience in a variety of different sectors, areas, in whichever way they can, you know, contact employers, express your interest in potentially pursuing a career and ask, you know, if you can have even one day's experience of an office environment, for example. You only know the world is your oyster when you've experienced the world. So as much experience as you can get from a very young age on things that might interest you, the more variety you will have to choose what career you wish to pursue.
Maman, what would you say to someone like yourself growing up being told by that language teacher that maybe law wasn't for them?
What would I say to my younger self? Don't change yourself into someone you're not. Don't be embarrassed about who you are, where you've come from. Always treat people with kindness. They'll remember that and they'll remember you. A bit like Claire, I would say you have an image, maybe from a TV show or not, about what a career in law looks like. But there's so many aspects to a legal career, and you can get legal experience as a kind of student in lots of different areas. So you can contact your local council, law centre, community advice centre, charities, local courts, banks, department stores. They all have in-house legal teams. These are things that I didn't know because no one told me, but they have sometimes very large legal teams. And depending on where you live, it might well be a real avenue for you to get that first experience of a career in law. The other kind of piece of advice that I would say is, yeah, grab every opportunity that comes your way. You never know where it might take you. And the one thing I didn't do, which I should have done, was to keep a diary. So I would say keep a diary because so much changes over the years.
Claire, sorry, you've got something to add.
I'm a massive advocate, and I say this to the juniors now that, you know, I mentor and supervise. Always be yourself, because you will never, ever get caught out. And if you are yourself, you will start believing in yourself, and you will realize that being yourself, people will still accept you. And it's taken me so long to get to this place. You know, that big fear of being found out and that everything's going to fall away. You know, I suppose I've been myself and still I'm here.
I think that's a great way to sign off. Claire, Maman, thank you very much indeed for coming on Life, Lemons and the Law. It's been fascinating hearing your stories and really insightful to think about some of the ways that we can challenge this lack of social mobility. So thank you, Claire.
Thank you ever so much, Ed. I've enjoyed it.
And thank you, Maman.
Thank you very much for having me, Ed.
Thank you very much to Claire and Maman for coming on Life, Lemons and the Law, and thank you very much indeed for listening. If you'd like to find out more about the Social Mobility Foundation and the work of Clark Wilmot in this area, then you'll find the webpage links in the show notes. Please do join us for the next episode, and thank you very much indeed for listening.